Teach us your way, O Lord, that we may walk in your truth. Give us an undivided heart to revere your name.
We give thanks to you, O Lord our God, with our whole hearts, and we will glorify your name forever.
Your steadfast love is great. You have delivered us from the depths of the earth.
Our enemies rise against us. They don't care a thing about us.
But you, O Lord, are merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness.
Turn to us, be gracious to us. Give us your strength to your servant. Save us from our enemies.
Show us favor, O God, so that our enemies see your goodness and love. Help and comfort us, your servants. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Amen. And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. And at this time, the children are released for jam as we sing our gathering hymn.
Thank you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Let us pray. Faithful God, most merciful Judge, you care for your children with firmness and compassion. By your Spirit, nurture us who live in your kingdom, that we may be rooted in the way of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first reading is from Isaiah, the 44th chapter. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Beside me there is no God. Who is like me? Let them proclaim it. Let them declare and set it forth before me. Who has announced from of old the things to come? Let them tell us what is yet to be. Do not fear, do not be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? There is no other rock. I know not one. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Romans, the 8th chapter. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If, in fact, we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, the enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slave said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them into bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples approached, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the wheat. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all the causes of sin and all evildoers. And they will be thrown into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun of the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen." This is the gospel of our Lord. Anyone this morning like, "Wow, I really hope I'm not the weed"? So, Mike, what is this?
A mirror.
A mirror? This is a mirror. And man, that is one good looking dude.
Why is Thomas in there?
No, I was looking at myself. You know what? I think I'm having a pretty good hair day.
Well, if somebody don't have no hair, I can see why.
I don't know. Why didn't anybody tell me I didn't have any hair? So, for those of you that have hair, I'm guessing something like this, a mirror, is part of your morning routine, isn't it? You check yourself in the mirror, you primp, you brush, you curl, and you try to see, am I having a good hair day? Well, are you? Are you? Are you having a good hair day?
No.
How about you, Kathy? Great hair day? Oh, sorry. Mike, you having a good hair day? It's just like you wanted. So, this is what a mirror is for, right? A mirror is for reflecting us back to ourselves. I can see what I look like in that mirror. It allows us to see who we are. Good hair days, bad hair days. No hair days. Do I have any moles, freckles, pimples? Big nose, perhaps? Double chin? Big, beautiful eyes, maybe? I don't know. But the mirror, it shows all the good, the bad. In my case, maybe the ugly, and everything in between. And when we hear this parable from Jesus today, our instinct is to use it as a mirror, right? We hear wheat, and we hear weeds, and we ask ourselves, which one am I? Am I the good wheat, or am I the bad weeds? Do I bear fruit that is worthy of the harvest, or will I be bundled with the rest of the riffraff at the end of the age and burned? Is it even possible, if I look in the mirror and find that I maybe look a little weedy today, to change over to wheat? Doesn't seem like it's possible to change from weeds to wheat. So I must be wheat, right? I'm wheat. I just keep telling myself I'm wheat. I have to be right. I have to be wheat. I don't want to be burned at the end of the age. So, are we wheat or are we weeds? Are we destined to be gathered into the barn? Or are we going to be bundled and burned? We use this parable like a mirror to examine ourselves, to look at ourselves. Will I be gathered into the barn or will I be burned? Have I done enough? Have I done enough to be counted among the gathered, the saved, or have I fallen short just one too many times? Have I missed that mark one too many times and will therefore be counted among the condemned? So, I'm opening this up to you all to answer. What is the problem with that line of thinking? We're human, it's too broad. Lydia's like, I don't even know what he said. I don't know what I'm answering. When we ask the question, have I done enough? Those words are a problem. Those words are a problem. Have I done enough to be counted among the saved? This is not part of a Lutheran vocabulary, is it? Because the answer to that question is always no. Have I sinned too many times to be counted as part of the gathered and saved? That isn't part of the Lutheran vocabulary either. Because the answer is, yes, you have sinned too many times to be counted among the gathered and saved, as have I. See, these questions, have I done enough, give undue power to the law. They give all the power to the law, in fact, don't they? Which might be okay, assuming we have the ability to live perfectly under to live perfectly under the law and save ourselves, right? Sorry. Anyone here perfect? Show of hands. Anyone? Lydia, I know you think you're perfect. Me?
You seem to. You look in the mirror.
Right. So, anyone here have the power to save themselves? Anyone willing to say that they can save themselves? No? All right. So, if salvation is left to us, then that would be really, really bad, wouldn't it? Have I done enough to be among the gathered and saved? Have I done enough? No! Have you done enough? No! Have we? Have any of us done enough? No, no, and no. Of course not. Nor could we even ever hope to try. Have I done enough to be condemned, gathered, bound, and burned? Yes! Of course, every single day I show myself worthy of that fate. How about you? Show of hands. Any sinners out in the pews? Raise them high. This reading of the parable, am I wheat or am I weeds, is law. Pure and simple, it is law. But as we talked about a few weeks ago, when I wanted to use a bow and arrow to shoot an apple off of George's head, and they're over here, they're like, what did he do? The law isn't the problem. The law is just the mark. The law isn't the problem, but we also know the law doesn't give us the ability to attain the law, does it? The law is good because, as Luther tells us, God speaks through the law, saying, do this, avoid that, this is what I expect of you. That's God speaking to us through the law. The law is fundamental to the Christian life, in fact. The law is a mirror. It reflects us, it reflects Mike back to himself, showing Mike his sins, forcing him to confront the ways in which he has failed to live as God has called him to live. The mirror does this to all of us, doesn't it? It forces us to confront the ways that we've fallen short and the ways we've missed the mark. But what if, when we are confronted by the law, when parables like this cause us to look into this mirror, when we ask, am I wheat or am I weeds? What if we're asking the wrong question? You're like, what other question can you ask? Jesus said we're either wheat or weeds. Jesus tells his disciples this. The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. It's not the evil one. It is the evil one. Sorry. It is the evil one, not the Son of Man, not Jesus, that sows weeds. Jesus only sows good seed. Let me say that again. This is very important. Jesus only sows good seed. You have been sown by Jesus. I have been sown by Jesus. We all have been sown by Jesus, and therefore we are all good seed. Not because of what we do, not because of what we have done or will do, but because Jesus is our sower. That means that we are wheat, and this is gospel, not law. This is gospel because we're freed from the fear that strikes us when we look into that mirror and we wonder, am I wheat or am I weeds? We don't have to wonder that. We know that we are wheat. The gospel, the good news of this parable, tells us that we are wheat because we belong to the Son of Man. We belong to Jesus, the one who sows only wheat. You see, the gospel is a freeing word. It is the promise that God's love is already ours, shown to us in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That not even our worst sins, quick, imagine your worst sin. Not even that. Or your biggest failure. Your biggest failure, imagine that. What's your biggest failure? Not even your worst sin or your biggest failure can separate you or any of us from the grace and the love of God made known to us in Jesus Christ. So you may be asking, why the mirror anyway? What's the point? What's the point of the law? We know we're wheat, right? So can't we just sit back and wait to be harvested and brought into that big barn in the sky? I mean, Sean told me I'm not a weed, so there's no risk of being gathered, bound, and burned, so why do anything? And this is the accusation that we as Lutherans often face, isn't it? It's, if we are justified by grace as a gift, made effective through faith, then why do anything? And it's an accusation we must face and answer when we witness to the good news that if a person is justified by faith, apart from works prescribed by the law, there's nothing we must do. I've been levied this accusation against me. Well, then Lutherans, they don't do anything. They're already saved. Just sit back and wait, as I said, to be harvested into that big barn in the sky. So again, what's the point of this mirror? What's the point of the law? Don't the Ten Commandments matter? I hope you're asking that. So does anyone remember Joseph, son of Jacob? Anybody? I hope, maybe. So he was in prison in Egypt, and he was called by Pharaoh to interpret a dream. Pharaoh fell asleep and he dreamed there were 7 ears of grain, plump and good, and they were all growing on one stalk. And then there were 7 ears that were thin and blighted by the east wind. Then they were swallowed by the 7 plump, full ears. So 7 plump, full ears of grain, 7 blighted ears of grain. My point in recalling this scripture is that not all wheat is the same, is it, Norm the farmer? No. Are all harvests the same? No. You have good harvests. You have bad harvests. You have mediocre harvests. Sometimes you have famine-like harvests, right? Not all harvests are the same. Not all wheat is the same. Sometimes, as we heard last week, it produces 100-fold, maybe 60, sometimes 30. I don't know, maybe sometimes it'll produce 10-fold. Or perhaps 1-fold. A blighted, windblown grain, single grain of wheat. This is law and gospel. We look at this to see just what kind of wheat that we are. We know we're wheat. We know we belong to Jesus. But are there 100-fold ready to bear fruit, or just 1 windblown piece of grain? We cannot separate law and gospel. If I try to live only by the law, I look into that mirror and see a sinner, and I lose all hope because I cannot save myself. And if I cling to the gospel, grace alone, by faith alone, I become like the wheat that is thin and blighted by the east wind. When we hold up the mirror, not saying, are we wheat or are we weeds, but instead consider the condition of the wheat, known to be planted by Jesus. That is law and gospel. And we always, as Lutherans, must hold these together. So if we use a mirror like this to primp and prim and get ready every morning, is my hair in place? Shouldn't we be willing to use a mirror to examine ourselves and our innermost being? The mirror is a gift from God, because the law is a gift from God and the law is mirror. It is not given to condemn, but it is given to allow us to thrive and to flourish in this world. It is given to us that we might examine ourselves. So I ask, are we looking plump? Are we looking plump? Like a healthy head of wheat? Are we loving the Lord our God with all our heart and all our mind and all our souls? Are we loving the neighbor as ourselves? Are we loving one another? Or are we perhaps looking a bit windblown? Blighted, perhaps. Are we yelling at the neighbor over a $70 can of paint? Oops. Or are we expressing anger and frustration in unhealthy ways? Are we injuring our neighbor, damaging our neighbor? Are we holding on to anger and frustration and contempt and malice and damaging ourselves, damaging those closest to us? What is the mirror telling you right now? What is the mirror telling you when I ask those questions? And whatever it is telling you, that is the feeling of being condemned by the law. So I want you all to do something that I know is going to make you a little bit uncomfortable. I need you to scan the room. I need you to make eye contact. That means if you're in the front, you have to look back. Make eye contact with a few people around you. Make eye contact. Come on. You can do it. The longer it takes you to do this, the longer the sermon lasts. I said it once, I'll say it again, and I'll say it again after that. You will never, not once, look into the eyes of someone that God doesn't love. Now, that probably sounds like gospel to you, doesn't it? God loves everyone. Now, I want you to close your eyes. If you're already sleeping, keep them closed. Close your eyes and imagine someone that you don't like, someone that you're mad at, someone that's wronged you in some way, someone, dare I say, you hate. Imagine that person. Look deep into their eyes. Got it? God, you will never look into the eyes of someone that God doesn't love. Now, I have to ask you, how does that strike you? Is there a bit of twinge in your gut? Does it make you feel a little bad about yourself, like maybe you're not living up to the way God wants you to live? Well, that feeling is the law punching you in the gut. I'm sorry to say it. So even something that sounds like gospel can be law, but those words, I can assure you, are gospel. Okay. I don't know if this is going to work. Can you find yourself in this mirror? Find yourself in the mirror. Make eye contact with yourself. Make eye contact with yourself. Thomas, you see yourself? Thomas, make eye contact with yourself, Thomas. You will never look into the eyes of someone that God doesn't love, Thomas. You will never look into the eyes of someone that God doesn't love. That is good news. That is gospel. You will never look into the eyes of someone that God doesn't love. You will never look into the eyes of someone that God doesn't love. Even when you are getting ready in the morning, primping, prepping, that person you're looking at, God loves. Never again Do you have to ask whether that person you look at in the mirror is weed or wheat? You are all wheat. You have all been sowed by Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ only plants wheat. That person you just looked at in the mirror is wheat. That person you looked at is loved by God. And this is most certainly gospel. And for this gospel, I say, thanks be to God. Amen.
You to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Confident that God receives our joys and concerns, let us offer our prayers for the church, those in need, and all of creation.
O God, you call your church to announce the gospel of reconciliation and truth, both near and far. Guide your church as it seeks your wisdom and shares it, trusting your Spirit, bearing witness among us. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. You brought forth all creation and called it good. Direct policymakers to protect land and seas. Bring rain to sun-parched fields and protect areas impacted by natural disasters, especially the Canadian wildfires, flooding in the Northeast, and extreme temperatures in America's South and Southwest, parts of Europe and in the Middle East. Hear us, O God.
You desire peace among nations and peoples. Guide world leaders in the ways of reconciliation. Guard our neighborhoods from hatred. Watch over police officers and firefighters, and teach us to advocate for those who live near in fear. Hear us, O God.
You are gracious and merciful, comforting those who suffer any affliction, especially Connie, Linda, Marcella, Karen, Sandy, Jamie, Deb, Frida, Bill, Linda, Tim, Ed, Wilma, for those we name aloud, either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Sustain your people who are living with HIV and AIDS and other debilitating and incurable diseases. Provide shelter for all who are unhoused and release any who are unjustly imprisoned. Hear us, O God.
You name each of us as your children. Guide our hospitality ministry to welcome all, our education ministry to equip us for faithful living, and our social ministry to enact the gospel in our community. Provide guidance and wisdom to the mission and evangelism, the hope and food ministry teams, that they witness to the Jesus Christ in this gang and beyond. Keep our VBS ministry in your care this week. Sustain those that will lead, teach, and assist, that they may nourish your children. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray. In the name of the one who reconciled all creation to himself, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. Continue with our gifts and our offerings.
Let us pray. God of field and forest, sea and sky, you are the giver of all good things. Sustain us with these gifts of your creation and multiply your graciousness in us that the world may be fed with your love through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and at all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God. Through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death in the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body given for you. Take and eat. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom as you teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. If you have not been here before, the communion is open to everyone. Everyone is welcome to come communion, to come and commune. You will be released to come up to the center aisle. There is a small cup for you to pick up and grab on your way. You will gather around the communion rail where you will be given the blood of Christ and the body of Christ. But, you know, we'll fill the cup. Anyway. With all of that said, only Jesus can satisfy our hungry hearts. Come and eat at the table where all are truly welcome.
is the body of Christ broken for you.
Amen.
This is the blood of Christ shed for you.
Please stand in body or in spirit. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace.
Let us pray. We thank you, generous God, for the refreshment we have received at your banquet table. Send us now to spread your generosity into all the world through the one who is our dearest treasure, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen. And now you may be seated. Okay, VBS starts today. It's at dinner is at 5:15 tonight. 6 to 8 is VBS. It goes that way from Sunday night tonight through Thursday. So if you're signed up and going to be here, we look forward to having you. If you are signed up to help, please show up. If if you would like to help set up after the service, please do that. But most importantly, next Sunday, we have a joint service. It starts at 10 a.m. So 10 a.m. is the joint service, where we will celebrate our week of VBS with a program from VBS. So please join us at 10 a.m. next Sunday, where we will celebrate our learnings from the week with VBS and with our children. So, and there is still time for people to sign up. So if you know somebody that might like VBS, let them know. They can show up tonight at 5:15 or 6. So, all right. Consolidation announcement. We had a meeting on Wednesday. We basically agreed on two things. One, we need to speed up. That means that two times each month we will be meeting. Our next meeting is 2 weeks from last Wednesday, so whatever that comes out to. Number two, there was a vote, and the agreement has been tentatively made that we will move forward and seek out a parish that looks like a single parish with two locations. Those locations have not been identified, but that is the path forward as of now. So more to be shared as it becomes available, but those two things were decided on Wednesday. So any other announcements that are really important today? Dennis?
Just to add to that, we've also decided that there are going to be initially two committees set up, so we're going to be asking folks to help. I believe the one committee was to be working on property and chapel or belongings.
And thank you for saying the word belongings or whatever after chattels, because that is not a word. I'm convinced of it. So, yes, Mike.
Along with VBS and stuff like that, and we are also going to give food for those to stay after.
Yep.
Bars outside.
So, please. If you would like, he's only half serious about that. If you would like to bring something, as Mike said, you're welcome to. But you are obviously all welcome to stay regardless. So please count on staying and sharing fellowship on Sunday after the service with all of our Lutheran brethren. So, and sister and siblings, we'll say that. Sistering. All right. And with that, please stand as you're able to. Oh, wait. No, please stay sitting down. Please stay sitting down. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. And we will sing Shine, Jesus, Shine as our sending hymn. Sing and dance Shine, Jesus, Shine as our sending hymn as we collect our noisy offering, which goes towards VBS. So please sing. Once they come by, you can feel free to stand and dance.